My daddy waved and mama cried, and I felt all choked up inside, 'cause I was leaving everyone that loved me.
Hello and welcome to the December 2011 episode of the Portland Afoot podcast. I'm Lillian, your producer.
And I'm Michael, your editor.
This month, we're going to attempt to make budgets exciting.
We're going to succeed at making budgets exciting. TriMets, PBots, and your own.
We're also going to talk about GetAround, a peer-to-peer car sharing service. If Zipcar is iTunes, then GetAround is BitTorrent.
And after the money episode, we'll end with our cute TriMet tweets, and this month's Only on the Bus.
Enjoy listening. First up, we're going to talk about TriMet's budget.
Yes, I am not here to talk, actually, about the specifics of TriMet's budget. I really just want to talk about this one website that TriMet put together, and I think it is just about the coolest thing ever. Have you been to TriMet.org/choices, Lily?
Yeah, I looked at this the other day. One thing I kind of hate about it is they're sort of like, do you want a little fare increase or a bigger fare increase?
No, yes.
And those are sort of your options. Your option for no fare increase is a fare increase that's only based on inflation, which was a little annoying, because 5 to 20 cents of fare increase does have a significant effect.
Yes.
But they're also talking a lot of other fare adjustments were an option on the website, including eliminating transfers entirely.
Mm-hmm. So that would mean that if you wanted to get on one bus and then the max, you would have to pay a second time to get on the max or another bus or whatever. You could only take one leg, and then your ticket would expire after that one leg. That would be a huge change.
But what they're suggesting is that you would just buy an all-day ticket, which currently would be twice the price of a typical ticket.
And then
you would be able to get to and from on the same ticket.
Right.
So their idea is that this would have the least impact on low-income transit users because they're more likely to be taking multiple trips in a day in which they're already buying two tickets in a day.
Oh, I don't think I had wrapped my head around that. Okay.
So that's what they're suggesting with it. But if you are only taking transit one way, but taking two connections, this is quite high.
Right.
Eugene, Oregon had that same system, and if you get used to the Portland system and go back down there, it's really annoying.
It seems like, and they're also talking about getting rid of Fairless Square, and
it's not Fairless Square.
Sorry,
free rail
the
zone.
Free rail zone. They're talking about getting rid of the free rail zone, which would make some sense since they're almost certainly going to do that with the streetcar as well. The power of free, right, of you don't have to worry about it, you just get on, is so dramatic to somebody who is not used to riding the system that I feel like the reason that people are always talking about Portland transit being good is half because it's free rail downtown, and so all these freaking tourists come to downtown and they're like, oh my god, it's free downtown, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
And then they're like, whoa, transit rail isn't really nice, whoa. And if there were a fee, then people would be scared of it. They wouldn't realize how effortlessly nice it is to get around downtown on transit.
I think that people are going to, I don't think the tourists are the people I'm worried about in this situation. But what's interesting about this is it's not so much, the balance your budget tool is not looking at, oh, how does this impact tourists? It's looking at how it impacts rail users. And they, unfortunately, I think sort of the problem about this, it's interesting, it lays out all of TriMet's options for trying to balance their budget, but at the same time, it really doesn't go very into depth on any of these individual subjects. So
that's true. But I think what it does, it's really great, is it puts it all in context, right? It's a little bar graph, and it creates, like, you know, a tiny little stripe for charging for parking and a great big stripe for eliminating the free rail zone. And so you understand, like, we could only make this much more money if we did this or that or the other thing, that it takes it out of the realm of, which is the, I mean, whenever you have a conversation about TriMet's budget and somebody's like, oh, I've got the answer, it's always like, oh, if you, all you need to do is X and then X will solve the problem. And this makes it clear that no, it's not just as simple as any one little thing that can change.
It's actually a really good kind of answer to the idea that, you know, oh, well, if we just privatized transit in Portland, it would be so much better, or if we just sold more ads.
Exactly. Because
one of the things you notice is that, you know, increasing ad revenues by adding ads to Transit Tracker is on there, and it raises a minuscule portion of just what a novice fare increase would do.
So it gives you a really intuitive sense.
It gives you good context for what you can and cannot do with ad revenues or with other sort of private revenue streams coming in.
Right. And because I'm a media dork, I also want to talk about the fact that this is part of this huge trend going on in the world of sort of public relations right now. It started with websites like Major League Baseball hired journalists away from like ESPN to start covering baseball while being employed by baseball. And that's exactly what's going on now. TriMet has been eliminating positions that had been devoted to media relations, and they're replacing it with direct communications. If you use Twitter, you may have noticed that TriMet will now respond to your tweets like a human being will say, "Oh, we're sorry that happened," when you complain about stuff. And that is because they're paying somebody to do that instead of paying somebody to talk to people like me, which I think on balance is good, because I think that agencies should be investing in communicating with the public now that they can, and journalists like us should be playing our part to frame that information and inform people who want to be informed, but it's so much more efficient if agencies are directly engaging.
Also, I think the thing to say about this, we did promise that we were going to make, well, you promised that we were going to make budgets exciting, and this tool actually does. I think it's really fun. Like, I wish that this is what it looked like when I needed to balance my own budgets.
Yes, that would be great.
Because there are lots of really cool graphs, and if you have, like, a modicum of dorkiness, you might very well enjoy it.
I wish every government would do it. It would explain so much, and I think governments would get a lot of better informed citizens.
But I also think we don't explain enough, unfortunately, in this tool. Like, this really looks at the impact on TriMet without really looking at the impact on users enough.
Yes.
They just sort of have this line that's like, will possibly negatively impact low-income users. And they have that line for almost every single thing. So it's like, true. All right, great. Yeah. Thanks, TriMet.
Right. Yeah, it's not like a public hearing where, if you've ever been to a TriMet public hearing when they are either cutting service or raising fares, you will get a bunch of people talking about the very important reasons this matters to their lives and how they literally do not have any more money to pay to get on the bus, and they'll be making sacrifices, and that affects the decisions the agency makes as a result. And so it's not a substitute for that.
So I think that's all we're going to talk about with the Balance Your Budget tool.
All right.
Let's talk about Get Around, because I think this is actually really exciting.
Good. I'm glad you do. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only guy in Portland who's excited about this, but I am really excited about it. So tell me why you are.
I think you should explain what it is first.
So Get Around is a service that turns any car into a zip car. Think about that, baby. Yeah. It turns your car, it turns your neighbor's car, it turns your friend's car. It doesn't have to be a zip car that's available to everyone. It can be a zip car that's available only to you, because your friend can be like, "Oh, I know my friend Mike needs a car for such and such once a month, and I'm going to get on and sign up for Get Around, and this will handle his insurance while he's in the car, so I don't get screwed when he's driving around. It'll set up an easy mechanism for me to pay him, or for him to pay me for my vehicle." It's a fantastically clever, simple little system, and it's great for society.
Is it keyless entry?
It is. So there are two kinds of ways to do it. Right now, you can sign up for Get Around. You can sign up for Get Around immediately on getaround.com. and use a key handoff system where somebody will sign up, you'll set your car's availability during these hours to these certain people if you want, and somebody can arrange a key handoff for you. There's also a separate thing called a car kit that they haven't decided who's going to get them yet, but they're going to be giving out some number of 100 of them, and those allow keyless entry. So those cost about $400 to $500 to Get Around. It's possible that eventually they'll be selling them. I think in Portland, because this is all made possible by a federal grant, it's likely they'll be giving some away.
And those allow you to just get in just like you would with the zip car, exactly. Which is where you have like a little card and you swipe it over the windshield and it lets you get in and start the car without a key.
And that's what's revolutionary, because since you don't need somebody to be home, it can be parked in a driveway and somebody doesn't even have to meet you. They can know that there's a Get Around thing on the website. They can swing through, do an errand, drop it off again.
And there's a woman in San Francisco, right, that's like financing. Yes. She's like traveling around the world and her car was just parked in San Francisco, right?
This is what Get Around's vice president tells me anyway. I don't know. Yeah, he says that there's a woman who has left her vehicle in downtown San Francisco, and actually the Get Around staff uses it, so that's part of the volume, but she gets so much business out of this Nissan Xterra that she has been financing her trip around South America, at least in part, on this revenue, making several hundred dollars a month, you know, and that's pretty sweet.
But the key thing in Portland, I think this is sort of more of a Knicks thing. I don't think Get Around is nearly as exciting in Portland as it is in like Cincinnati, where because there is already Zipcar here. And often the problem with Zipcar is there isn't a car where you want it, which hopefully Get Around will fix if it does pick up people using it.
And that's because you don't have to. You can have a Get Around car that isn't profitable because it's just somebody's car. It doesn't have to be profitable.
Right. They don't have to strategically park it at Mississippi and Shaver because they know it's going to get the most use there. Right. It's just going to be in their driveway or parking lot. But in Cincinnati, where you just already don't have car sharing, this is something that really could be potentially incredibly, one, profitable for someone who's willing to put their car into it, and two, great for someone like me who doesn't need a car very often, but occasionally might. I think Mountain View, California is an example of one of those cities.
I visited there this summer to check it out, and there are zero Zipcars in the city of Mountain View. And there are 15 get-around cars shared in the city of Mountain View, where they were at the time. They were all over the place. I walked to, like, seven of them and checked it out. And, you know, these people got, I don't know, a few hundred dollars over the course of several months. It wasn't really enough money to go have a party or six with, but it was a way that they could...
No, your parties are like... Well, yeah. That's six parties to me.
All right. Lily could have a party or six with the several hundred dollars. But in any case...
I used to be in AmeriCorps. I can have a party on $2. Moving along.
Yeah.
This is... I don't know.
So do we actually talk about the news? We should probably say exactly what happened.
Oh, so this is the really exciting news.
Well, the Get Around got a grant for $1.6 million... Actually, properly, I think the city got this grant, and then they're going to have Get Around run a pilot in the city of Portland, in the region. It's the first expansion outside the Bay Area for the company, and it will start at PSU in January and then expand to the rest of the city in February. So they're going to have a big marketing push, and hopefully we can get enough people signing up for this in the city that it'll be really useful, that there'll be enough reason for people to want to use the system.
I think we have enough people that have cars that are not using them all the time in Portland.
It fits perfectly with our great biking and great transit, which I'm sure is why they got the grant.
So this is really exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Moving along. We're going to switch from talking about your own finances to PBOT's budget.
PBOT, the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
Oh, our dear friend. PBOT is kind of under fire right now because they're doing massive cuts as proposed for their next fiscal year for their budget. And, can you give us a little overview of this, Michael?
So there are various budget issues overlapping. They're recently spending less on this year's budget. They're planning to spend less on next year's budget. They are talking about a $16 million a year permanent change cut. Reorganization reduction, that's out of about $100 million of discretionary spending. So it's about 16% of the department would go away. The effect of it would be that they would have a fair amount less money to play with. And on things like the Sunday Parkways program that shuts down the streets in the summers for bikes and running and so on, the infrastructure projects like small bike projects, pedestrian things. They've been cutting sidewalks right and left.
Sidewalks is really the key thing. Is that
sidewalks are hugely expensive.
Hugely expensive, but they were the first on the chopping block.
They were, yes. So because they're so expensive per mile, it's easy to save a lot of money by saying, oh, let's not do that until next year. And then the next year, perhaps it's easy to say it again. That's the problem. So out of the $16 million that they're trying to cut in the next year, about $8 million of that is in reduced gas taxes, some of which have actually been deferred from this year from sidewalk projects that they pushed into next year. But that just deepened the hole for next year. So now they've got twice as much sidewalk stuff to do next year and this whole other problem.
And we still have no sidewalks in key parts of East Portland and Southwest.
Exactly. And these have been promised for years and years and years because when the city annexed the area, they were supposed to bring it up to urban standards.
But
yeah. So there's this fight for resources. Obviously, we're all managing decline, basically, in the public sector, the private sector, and the public sector has made these commitments to things like the Selwood Bridge. They're spending $8 million a year on the Selwood Bridge replacement. They're spending $3.5 million a year for the Orange Line that's going to run to Milwaukee. They're spending $1.3 million a year for the new East Side Streetcar Loop. These are huge amounts of money every year. They're spending all those things. That's like $14-15 million a year. So when the revenue is coming entirely from cars, and all these things are built to reduce people's need for cars, and
it's a loop.
Yeah.
It's a descending loop into no money.
Right. So the solution
this is classically, I mean, this is the problem all across the country right now, is that we are, as a country, trying to incentivize driving less.
What's the takeaway, would you say,
about what the is the Portland? Takeaway of this? We're broke.
We are broke.
And we don't have many good solutions to fix it.
You want to move on to transit tips?
I want to move on to the transit tips, yes.
Okay, well, this one comes from reader Matt Kleinman. Hi, Matt. This is a tip for bike riders. It's for the mobility impaired. It's for anybody who just like the low-floor max cars. If you look, when you are waiting for the max, if you look down the tracks, the front of the high-floor cars look different than the front of the low-floor ones. So, if you see a three-paneled window coming towards you, you should head towards the back of the platform, because that means that the leading car is a high floor. You should catch the other train if you see the three-paneled window and you want the low floor, for example, to hang your bike up on the hook. At night, and you can look for the headlights, the high-floor cars have lights that are closer together than the others. So study those photos and keep an eye open, because those high-floor cars, when they're coming at you, they're going to have the close-together lights, and you should immediately head to the opposite side of the platform from where they're going to be.
I really don't spend my days studying photos of max car headlights.
Well, if you did, you would know exactly where to walk when you're waiting for the train.
It's true. That's a really good tip, though.
I think so. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Yeah, thank you. That's my bike tip of the month, too.
All right, so, great.
Yeah.
It's a twofer. Lily's going to do some funny tweets about TriMet, as we do every month.
I've got 5 tweets for you today, 2 of which are Dr. Jeff, as usual. Brockman, who is Brock Dietis of the Sprocket podcast. Shout out to the Sprocket podcast, which is an awesome
yes.
podcast.
Subscribe to the Sprocket podcast.
Yes, highly recommend it. On the other hand, my nonplussed Santa-wearing TriMet driver is pretty good at spinning that transfer punch tool in his free hand. That's from Brockman. Banana Wonder says, bus driver just asked if anyone else wants to bail. No thanks, I'd like to get home. That was the most retweeted one of this month of all TriMet tweets. Dr. Jeff, dear fellow TriMet rider, 3/4 inch is the legal limit for protruding nose hair. Trim it or face arrest. You are out of compliance. Mike's Rigsby says, nothing quite instills confidence like a public transit driver that's driving with the route map in his hand. Hashtag TriMet, hashtag where the fuck are we? They took the TriMet out of boring, but can they take the boring out of TriMet? Stay tuned.
Oh!
Pretty good.
I like the spinning punch tool thing. I've never seen that. I would love to see somebody, like, with a quick return on that punch card thing.
Maybe if they limit transfers, you will That's ever true. Have to see that again.
You're right. Good point. I'm going to read the Only on the Bus from this month's magazine. This is a story from Jeff, who you met on the last podcast. It is from his contributions to TriMetDiaries.com, the wonderful website about the culture of TriMet riding. Here's what Jeff says. I saw Arrested Development's Tobias Funk on the Max the other day. He was standing next to a young Helen Mirren. Helen looked as though she'd been in a minor industrial accident, maybe a mishap on the assembly line. Later, Steve Buscemi strolled through the car, glaring at people with those eyes of his. I see Buscemi all the time. If you spend any time at all on public transit, you can't avoid the doppelgangers. Hey, there's Justin Bieber as a woman. Look, that guy looks like Alec Baldwin as a homeless dude. After you've been riding a while, though, spotting the lookalikes just isn't enough. After a while, it's time to up your game and step into the big leagues. I've moved on from simple solo celebrity spotting. I'm into groups now. For example, all I need is a Justine Bateman to fill out my family ties card. Michael J. Fox is everywhere in Portland. Tina Yuthers was tough. If you really get into this game, you'll need to take a few days off so you can ride lines that you wouldn't normally ride in the course of your workday. Say you wanted to fill out the cast of Entourage. You might start with the Green Line and keep an eye peeled as you roll through downtown towards PSU, but you'll most likely need to disembark and hit the streetcar up through the Pearl. And someone with a Portlandia bent is going to want to work the low bus numbers, 4, 9, 14, 15, Division, Powell, Hawthorne, Belmont, will probably do the trick. You get the idea. Start easy, maybe friends on the Green Line, and work your way up the ladder to something really difficult, like True Blood, solely on even-numbered bus lines. Soon, you'll have toured Portland and made some new buddies along the way. And on weekends, you can turn this into the only drinking game you can safely play on city streets.
That's awesome. I feel like we should just turn this into the Dr. Jeff show.
I fear that he might have some copyright recourse if we did that.
I do want to note, though, since he was on the last episode and he talked about the Holiday Fair campaign.
Yeah.
That the Holiday Fair campaign has done incredibly well.
Yes.
When we last talked to him, he had, like, 16 books of tickets or something.
Something like $3,000 is what he has.
Yeah, he's collected, like, over 100 books of tickets and a pile of loose tickets. And it adds up to over $3,000. Yeah, so he's just blown it away. But there's a constant need for more tickets.
And he's talking about setting up a nonprofit to continue this operation.
Is he really?
Yes.
I didn't hear this.
Yeah, indeed. A lawyer got in touch with him, a 21st floor guy, as he put it, got in touch with him and said, oh, yeah, I'd love to help you set up some sort of a thing if you want to continue this. So I think this could be a big thing.
And it's so if you do want to donate or just follow the progress as it goes on, it's holidayfair.blogspot.com.
Yep.
And Dr. Jeff is on Twitter at Dr. Whole Word _ Jeff. And that's our show, The Money Show, for December 2011. You can subscribe to the show at pdx.be/podcast.
You can support Portland Afoot by subscribing to our wonderful 10-minute monthly news magazine about low-car life in Portland at portlandafoot.org/subscribe.
You can follow me on Twitter at Anomalily.
You can follow me on Twitter at Portland Afoot. I'm Michael Anderson, your editor.
And I'm Lillian Kerbake, your producer. Thanks for listening.
First class, so I'll make it the best I can. Anything to get my feet on that good Kentucky land. My thumb is in the air and my suitcase by my side. Or somebody give this poor old